really glad to be here with you. Just out of curiosity, how many of you saw in the paper last week that Ralph Shipley died? How many of you came just to see if I was here? All right, I'm glad. I'm glad you came to see if I was here. Brother Casey, I had seen him out at the Life Care East, I think it was. He was there ministering to the folks, and as I walked by him and I came back by, he was singing His Eyes on the Sparrow, and I stopped and waved at him, and he said when he got home, picked up the paper, and he saw that I was dead. He said it kind of caused him a little bit of concern there momentarily until he realized he just saw me a couple hours ago. Great to be here this morning. I want to read as a text for the message today, Proverbs 17 and verse 6. Children are the crown of old men. Amen to that. That's talking about grandchildren. They are the crown of old men. And the glory of children is their fathers. And the glory of children is their fathers. In 1975, my family and I moved to Birmingham, Alabama. To serve the church there in Birmingham. We were there 12 and a half years. And one of the first things that caught my attention in Alabama was the politeness and good manners of the people. And I realized that they had been taught manners since they were children. And so, Miss Judy and I determined that we were going to teach our children manners. Michael was 13, Lisa was 11, and Joel, our youngest, was 3, or 4, I think. It was a pretty easy job to teach Joel manners at 4. It was fairly easy to teach Lisa manners at 11. But Michael was a different story. He was 13, almost 14, and thought he was 25. And so it was a little more difficult for him with him. I remember one day when he was starting out the front door, I asked him a question as he was going out, and he turned and he said, "Yeah." I said, "Pardon me?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Pardon me?" And he said, "Yes, sir. You want me to call you Reverend too?" And I said, "No, sir, will do." Well, eventually we succeeded in teaching our children manners and respect for other people and respect for authority. And last May, they've carried those manners with them all through the years, starting when Michael was 14. And last May, the 19th, Michael turned 55. I now have a senior citizen son. You talk about making me feel old. And he still has good manners. So does Joel and so does Lisa. But he reminded me of it when we were with them in Florida the last couple of weeks. He and I were sitting, we were waiting in a place to rent a car. And he looked outside and saw an older gentleman with his daughter, I suppose, getting out of the car. And he had a red World War II hat on. He had to be in his mid-90s, moving very slowly. And immediately Michael called my attention to him, and realizing that he was needing help. So he and I both went out, got on either side of him, got him by the arm, and helped him up the steps. And then when he got ready to leave, Michael helped him back out to the car. And so they caught the lesson, and it's still with them. They, my children have my DNA. They have a whole lot of it that they wish they didn't have. But that's one of the things I'm glad that they have kept. And believe it or not, they still love me. And I thank God for that. I loved my, I loved and admired my dad as a child. And even more as I became an adult, because raising our children and our grandchildren gave me a new perspective on my parents. The time that my dad and I had together over the years is a rich treasure to me, as I look back upon it now. The scripture says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now, that is a very significant statement. And it's right in the middle, and this is important, it's right in the middle of the Ten Commandments. This is a command of God. It tells us, since it's placed in the Ten Commandments, right in the middle of the Ten Commandments, as a matter of fact, it tells us that this is very important to God. It sends a message to us that honoring our father and our mother is very, very important to God. The first four commandments tell us about our duty to God. The last six of those commandments tell us about our duty to others. And this command to honor our father and our mother, is listed first in that second section of six. It is listed before "thou shalt not kill," and even before "thou shalt not commit adultery." And not only that, it is repeated in the New Testament. And it is identified in the New Testament as being the first commandment with a promise. The first commandment with a promise is honor thy father and thy mother. So after being right with God, after pleasing God comes this commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. It has a promise with it. And that promise is both to the person, the individual, and to the nation as well. It says that you may live long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, we all have a personal interest in Father's Day. Believe it or not, we all have a personal interest in some way in Father's Day. Either we have a father, we had a father, we will be a father in one way. We have an interest in Father's Day. According to the Word of God, fathers are very important in the world that you and I live in. Fathers are very important in the world that you and I live in. Not just because I say so, or not just because it is Father's Day and we're supposed to honor our fathers, but because God's plans are perfect when they are carried out by His creation. They work. God's plans and God's promises work when they are carried out by His creation. And no one can adequately fill the void that is left by an absent father or by one who does not accept His God-given responsibility as a father. Josh McDowell did some research, has done a lot of research in this area, and a couple of things that he discovered is this. He said he found that the average teenager, even in our churches, even in Christian families, the average teenager spends only 2 minutes a day talking with their father, talking with their dad. 2 minutes a day. Another thing he discovered was that 25% of all teens say that they have never had a meaningful conversation with their father. 25% of the teens have never had a meaningful conversation. Some of the things that my children have said to me in conversation will ring in my ears forever. Play with me. Play with me. Can I go with you? Rings in my ears today. You're never there when I need you. And then they'll turn right around and say, but Dad, you're always there. That's when they don't want me to be there. Any man can be a father, but it takes somebody special to be a daddy. You are the light of my life. But now, the dark side of reality for children in 2017 is this. Drugs, sex, alcohol, immoral behavior, disrespect for authority, hopelessness, depression, abuse, and on is all that millions of children have ever known. And they think that's normal because that's all they have ever known. Why? Why is this true? What's to blame? Why is it that millions of children don't know what it is to be loved? They know nothing other than abuse and perversion and mistreatment and pain. Why is that true? Is it because of television? Movies and the music that we listen to, the media, the Facebook, the cell phones, and all the other devices that gobble up our time foolishly? Is it the culture that we live in The ungodly education that many of our children, young people, receive from institutions of higher learning, is it the humanism that is that they are saturated with from those who are supposed to be training them? Is it evolutionary atheistic teaching that takes place in these venues? Is it educators, pornography, perversion, homosexuality, Republicans, Democrats, whatever you want to name? All of these are contributing factors, yes. But the bottom line causes are this. Number one, broken homes. I remember several years ago when I was preaching in a youth camp. I think it was in Alabama. And for some reason, one night I asked this question: how many of these children came from broken homes in a church camp? Over half of them raised their hand. More than half. That's probably the number one cause, that our children are brought up in such dire circumstances. Number two is parents without Christian character. Number three is missing fathers and disengaged fathers who spend no time with their children and do not train their children and do not love their children as they should. On any given day, more than half of the children that you and I meet out in everyday life are not living with their real fathers. And many of them may as well not be living with their real fathers, because their real fathers are uninvolved in their lives. The responsibility for raising and training healthy, happy, well-balanced children rests squarely on the home. And the bulk of it all rests squarely on fathers. God is going to hold every father accountable when we stand in the presence of God at the judgment. He's going to hold us all accountable. As fathers, we are ultimately responsible for every member of our family. And that is the one thing that brought me to my knees as a young man, realizing that I am ultimately responsible to God for my family. It is an awesome responsibility. But it will never be shouldered by fathers until we understand one thing, until we understand that God has ordained it that way. God has planned it that way, that we accept the responsibility for our families and for our children. Not only that, but not only did God plan it that way, but God provides for us all the resources that we need to pull it off, to be the father we ought to be, and to do it right. the way God intended for us to do it. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 11 and verse 29. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. And then in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, Scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I know we have taken consolation in that over the years and said, well, we have this promise that if we teach our children right, then even if they do depart from it, when they get old, they'll come back. That's not what it means. It means if we train our children and set the proper example for them and bring them up the way we ought to bring them up, they will never leave. Even when he is old, is what it means. They shall not depart from it. So, for dads, listen, we need to do it right. God gives us all the resources, and so we need to do it right. Do it right the first time. And get the monkey off your back. Now, I know there comes a time when our children grow up and they're in their 20s and they make stupid decisions. If you've brought them up right, then you got the monkey off your back. You're off the hook. You've done what God has instructed you to do. Now it's up to them. So don't go around beating yourself up about it if you train them up and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God gives us all the resources and instruction. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6 through 9, the Scripture says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. That's the command of God. And then we have this wonderful promise. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, the Scripture says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do it God's way. And to the child, the Scripture says in Proverbs 4 and 1, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. So, here's the sermon. Number one, as a father, God wants to use you as a pattern. He wants to use you as a pattern. Don't say to your children, don't do as I do as I say. I'm here to tell you it doesn't work. That simply does not work. God wants to use you as a pattern. We are always teaching by our example. Whether it is good or whether it is bad, we're still teaching. They believe in you. They trust you. The glory of children is their father's. What are you teaching them? What are you teaching them by your actions? What are you teaching them by your words and by your attitudes. You know, we talk a lot about the bad influence of television, the bad influence of the internet, the bad influence of the music and all those kinds of things. And granted, all those things are always educational. They're always teaching. But so are you. You're always teaching by your actions, by your words, by the attitudes that you have. Psalm 101 and verse 3 says this. You know, I wish I had understood a lot of things years ago that I didn't as a young father. Psalm 101 verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. Our policy in our home when our children was growing up was that when we were watching a movie on TV, that I would give them three cuss words. And then it was off. I shouldn't have given them three. I remember many a times there would be so much profanity on, by the time I got set down, I'd have to leap over my children and turn it off. I wish I had known a lot of things then that I know now. But, and I know I failed in some ways. But I also know that I don't have to be a failure. And neither do you. God will help you. He doesn't want you to be a failure. He wants you to be a pattern for your children. He also wants you to be a teacher. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. The Bible says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word admonition means to train them, admonish them, give them instruction as their teacher. And the reason that's so important is that if we who love our children do not mold them while they are children, those who do not love them don't shout me down while I'm preaching now. So we need to teach. We need to accept our role as teachers of our children. And so what are those things? What are those things that we can teach our children? We could teach them God is sovereign. That God's in control. That He has the last word. God is sovereign. We can teach them that God loves them. We can teach them that the Bible is God's word and that it is the final authority in all things. We can teach them that God has a purpose for their lives. We can help them find God's will and God's purpose for their lives. We can teach them that their body is the temple of the Spirit of God. We can teach them that family is the most important thing in this world that you and I live in. We can teach them to be good stewards. We can teach them to be accountable, and that they are one day going to be accountable to God. And so God wants us as fathers to be teachers. And then thirdly, He is depending on you to lead the way in serving the Lord. Lead the way by example in serving the Lord. Be a real man. Not a sissy that has to have the approval of the crowd, but be a real man and teach them to stand alone if necessary, to do what is right. Scripture says, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth beneath. Live for Jesus Christ without apology. And be sure to weigh everything that you do in front of your children. Weigh it in the light of eternity. And here's something that you probably don't hear very often, but I believe that every Christian father needs to make the best effort they possibly can to reestablish the family altar in their home. Lead your children to Christ. Teach them to love the Word of God and spend time in prayer with them. The Scripture says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a superlative. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Some of you dads need to march yourself down to this altar at the end of the service. Get on your knees and promise God that you're going to start a family altar. How many of them do you know of? How many families do you know that have a family altar? I challenge every dad here this morning to establish a family altar in your home. Dad, you are vitally important to God's plan to bless your family. Nothing in this world, absolutely nothing in this world, can make up for your absence and your godly influence on your family as well as the world that you and I live in. Only as you accept Jesus Christ and make Him Lord of your life and serve Him will your life and their life make any sense. I just finished a book while Miss Judy and I were in Florida, written by Franklin Graham. He's the oldest son of Billy and Ruth Graham. For many years, Franklin was a rebel. He wasn't serving the Lord. He was doing a lot of dangerous things. And Billy Graham tells how one time when he and Ruth were praying for Franklin, their rebel son, she opened the Bible and started reading Jesus' prayer in John 17. And she read aloud verse 19. And here's what it says. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. For their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified through the truth. And she, and of course the word sanctify means to dedicate or to consecrate. She closed her Bible and she said, she made this statement. She said, if Jesus needed to sanctify himself for our sakes, how much more do we as parents need to sanctify ourselves for our children's sakes? And so Mr. Graham said that his wife, he and his wife both put everything else on hold and set out to make sure that everything was right between themselves and God. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24-29 is a very soul-searching verse of Scripture. It says, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? In this case, every father is the strong man. Satan cannot spoil your house unless he first binds you and neutralizes you and defeats you. There's a passage of Scripture in the book of Amos that I think speaks directly to every father. Amos chapter 3 and verse 12 says, thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs and a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed, in Damascus in a couch. What he's talking about here is this. In those days when someone owned a flock of sheep and they hired a shepherd to take care of them, and wild animals would attack the flock and kill and destroy many of the sheep, when that shepherd came to give an accounting to the owner of the sheep, sometimes he would come with just pieces of a sheep he had pulled from a lion's mouth. Maybe two legs and a piece of an ear. Although he had lost the sheep, he was saying, I have done everything I humanly possibly could have done to save that sheep. Here's the proof. Two legs and a piece of an ear. And I say to you, dads, I challenge you to determine that when you stand before God and give an account for your family, if you've lost even one, you can say to God, I did my best, and have in your hand two legs and a piece of an ear. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have this morning to honor our fathers and to remember the way that they have taught us, the example that they have set for us, especially those of us who have godly fathers. And Father, I pray earnestly today that you will speak to each one of our hearts as fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers. Help us to realize that our race is not yet finished. As long as you give us life, as long as you give us breath, you hold us responsible for the example that we set before our children, for the things that we teach them, as well as the people around us. You hold us accountable even for the future of our nation and the society that we have. We done all that we can? Have we been the father, the husband, the leader, even the mother, our child that we should have been? We realize that one day we'll stand before you and give an account. And Father, I pray that we'll determine here today in this place that we're going to do our best to serve Jesus Christ and set the example for those that follow us. I pray for fathers here today who claim the name of Christ. I pray, Lord, for those especially who haven't gotten serious about following you yet. I pray for those who haven't surrendered their life to Jesus Christ as well, that you'll put a desire upon their hearts to give their families the very best they possibly can. And Lord, may each one of us determine that we're going to lead our families in worship. We are the high priest of our home. And I pray that you'll help us to have the courage to live the way you want us to and lead the way our families need us to lead. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.